particular specimen, the important specimen that we're discussing, was actually found by a road crew in Alabama in the early 1980s. And the specimen was excavated and placed at the first at the Red Mountain Museum in Birmingham, and then now it's at the McWane Center. What we did is essentially put it into the context of all the other tyrannosaurs that are known from North America. And I have been collecting dinosaur fossils in the area of West Georgia for quite a number of years, and we have specimens that would match the bones that came from Alabama. In fact, we have specimens from eastern Alabama, too. So we basically, what our paper did is put this specimen in perspective. It's the most complete dinosaur specimen known in the eastern United States, to my knowledge, and it's certainly the most complete carnivorous dinosaur specimen that we have.
Why did it take so long to finally get someone to identify what it was?
Well, there aren't an awful lot of dinosaur people working in the eastern U.S. This is not prime dinosaur country. And to some degree, it's more a matter of circumstance. The public thinks there are thousands of dinosaur experts running around looking at dinosaurs. Actually, there are very few people who work on dinosaurs as their primary research. There's just a lot of interest in that. I'll tell you another reason. The bones are not in great shape. The actual specimen is pretty crumbly and not a good specimen to work with.
Then how were you able to identify it if the bones are in such rough condition?
When you have looked at enough fossils of similar animals, you see the similar landmarks. Nature is somewhat conservative. So, for example, the maxilla of tyrannosaurs has a very constant shape to it. So if I see a fragment of the maxilla, that's the upper jaw area, from another tyrannosaur, I'll recognize it as a tyrannosaur maxilla.
How much of the dinosaur are we talking about? As far as I know, that it was said there are bits and pieces of it. Is it not a whole skeleton?
Only in rare time cases do you find the whole thing. Roughly speaking, I don't have a percentage. I'd say about a third of the specimen is there. But fortunately, there are pieces from important areas. The most important thing usually is the skull. And the skull's pretty well represented. There's upper and lower jaws. There are bones around the eye socket. The hips are present. The legs are present. Just a few vertebrae and just a few teeth. The one section I would really like to see which is not present are the forearms. I'd love to know if they were large or small. I would predict they were somewhere in the middle, transitional, because this is a fairly primitive tyrannosaur.
How long ago are you thinking that this guy was roaming the earth?
Oh, we have good dating on it. The fossils are interbedded with microscopic algal fossils. The algae that settled into the bones of this thing have very well-known dates of their occurrence. And we have a date that is really probably accurate within 1 million years. It's about 77.5 million years old.
Now, you say that the Southeast U.S. isn't someplace most paleontologists would be focusing their efforts on. Is it surprising to have found a tyrannosaur in this area?
Well, I have known there are tyrannosaurs here since the late 70s when I collected the first specimens. It was not terribly surprising, but it does pose a couple of puzzles. And one puzzle which I'm going to be working on in the future is how did they get here and when did they get here? Because at the time this thing lived, the continent was divided by an ocean, and dinosaurs probably could not swim across that ocean. So they would have either had to come here before the ocean, cut the continent in half, or they would have had to come in from the eastern side through Europe.
So how is this changing how scientists are looking at tyrannosaurs and their, I guess, evolution and migration?
Well, as I said, the surprising thing about this animal is that it is significantly more primitive than its contemporary dinosaurs in the West. In other words, this Alabama specimen is more primitive than the ones of the same age that are found, for example, in New Mexico at the same age and in Texas at the same age. So the question is, why is the more primitive one in the more isolated area in the East? It creates a puzzle to answer, although it's not a critical puzzle. It's not like some earth-shaking problem is at hand, but it's a question that has to be answered.
Are there plans for further digs to try to find this, or are you going to focus more on why did this guy get here?
Yeah, well, we're constantly looking for material. I mean, I have little bitty pieces of a lot of dinosaurs in my laboratory from West Georgia and East Alabama. We have not found any more in central Alabama or central eastern Alabama, and it's not terribly surprising because these were marine deposits, and dinosaurs don't swim in the ocean. these fossils we find of dinosaurs in the east were mostly drowned animals, probably shore-living animals who got washed out to sea. So it's not terribly surprising we don't find a huge number of dinosaurs, but they're there.